It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Greg Peterson Experience. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in the GPE, hour number three. I'm Jeff Parles in for Greg Peterson. Don't worry, Greg will be back Wednesday night. Here in Vegas, Thursday morning, if you're listening to us on the East Coast. Don't worry. Look, part cyborg, but even a cyborg needs a little bit of a break here and there. But happy to be in for Greg tonight and tomorrow. We'll have Tom Cunningham with us in 15 minutes from now. Happy to talk to Tom about college hoops, maybe even a little bit of tennis, some hockey. You got to go all over the place with Tom 15 minutes from now. But let's get back to the dance. Let's get back to the dance. Go to the South. These are Friday and Sunday games in Louisville, Kentucky. Starting with the number one overall seed, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Going to be taking on the number five seed in the region, the San Diego State Aztecs. This is a 6:30 Eastern tip in Louisville between Alabama and San Diego State. So San Diego State, let's start there. By the way, this is a 7.5-point line, even some eight out there. Total is down to 137 or 137.5. There is even some 136.5 out there. Let's start with the Techs. Let's start with the Aztecs. So San Diego State, round one, just an absolute battle with Charleston. Obviously, we know what happened. They got bailed out on a three-point shot foul that probably shouldn't have been called. They get, if you had San Diego State and TCU, you've had a charmed tournament so far, where San Diego State gets fouled down four with less than a second left when the game was over, when the ref let about seven or eight fouls go before that. And they call it, and San Diego State makes two free throws, and they cover all numbers. Very frustrating one of you at Charleston. And then San Diego State really took it to Furman. And I got to give them credit here because, look, that Furman team is very talented. But in the end, that's a very difficult matchup for Furman, where you have to play back-to-back games against teams that want to grind you out. Really difficult spot for them, where they, against Virginia, were able to run their offense enough. and found a way to win the game. But to ask them to do that twice in 3 days is just really, really difficult. And it was just too much for him. And San Diego State blew him out. 23-point win. It wasn't really even that close. And that's how they got here. And in Alabama, look, I take nothing from beating a 16 seed. Brandon Miller didn't score, and they still scored 96. Just a testament to how bad Corpus Christi is. And I don't care that they beat Maryland by 22. Maryland is a really mediocre team. And then when you took them outside of College Park, they were bad for the most part against real competition. So I just don't see it. I just don't see that Alabama should be getting steamed in this game like they have been. And look, they're the number one overall seed. They were the best team in college basketball for a good chunk of the year. Okay, fine. But this is a team that is so reliant on the three-point shot, and they're not even that good of a three-point shooting team this year. So what happens if Alabama has a bad shooting night? Which could very easily happen against a really good San Diego State defense. And I would argue is the second-best defense left in this tournament. I think this game's close. I don't know if San Diego State has enough horses offensively to win this game. But look, if Alabama has a bad shooting night, and we saw this against UCLA in the Sweet 16 2 years ago, where Alabama was much better than UCLA in that season. Much better. But they couldn't make shots. They didn't make shots that day. And that's why they lost. So it wouldn't shock me if this is a very similar thing where San Diego State is able to hold Alabama's offense down. And Alabama just doesn't make shots on that day. And all of a sudden, we're looking up at about 8:15 Eastern and be like, whoa, San Diego State's got a real shot to win this basketball game. Woo, got a chance. But I wouldn't shock me. I do agree with what Tim Murray said earlier today. I think San Diego State getting 7.5, especially if you get a full 8, I think that is worth your while with the Aztecs and that one in the South region. And then we get to this one. So I will preface all this of being someone who grew up in the state of New Jersey, and of course that's where Princeton is. This is pretty wild that a 15 seed from the state of New Jersey's made the Sweet 16 back-to-back years. Of course, last year, the pride of Jersey City and St. Peter's getting there and making it all the way to the Elite Eight. Now Princeton making it to the Sweet 16 after beating Arizona and my alma mater, Missouri. I don't think you could draw up much worse of a matchup for this Princeton team than what Creighton is going to throw at them. And Princeton, look, those two games were very different for Princeton. The first game against Arizona, that had to do with Arizona deciding that an NCAA tournament game was not worth getting up for energy-wise. It is inexcusable that Arizona lost that game to Princeton. And especially on a day where Princeton only scored 59 points, was 4 of 25 from 3, and made 3 free throws. And they won against the 2 as a 15. It's inexplicable. I would argue, and I know the spreads don't indicate this, I would argue it's the worst loss by a 2 seed ever. By the way the box score went, and by the fact that Tubelis was dominant in that game and they didn't use him enough, it's inexplicable how bad of a loss that was. What Arizona did against Princeton. And especially Princeton having to come from behind. Arizona had 6 points in the last 10 minutes of that game. Inexplicable. And then I give Princeton a ton of credit. They just steamrolled Missouri. Steamrolled them. It was pretty obvious early in the game that Mizzou didn't have it. And the thing with this Mizzou team this year, when Mizzou did not make threes, they got blasted. And Mizzou is 6 of 22 from 3. They're never beating anyone with a pulse if that's the case. And Princeton was awesome. Langborn was awesome in that game. And Princeton earned it. And they were the first Sweet 16 team out of the Ivy League since Cornell in 2009. But this is just a dreadful matchup for Princeton. You are going up against a team in Creighton that's 23rd offense and 13th in defense. A team that, even though the guards are young, even though Nebhart, Alexander, Kaluma, they're all sophomores. They're ready for the moment. Won a tournament game last year, had to go up against one seed in Kansas in the second round. They're ready for this moment. And even though I don't love Creighton's depth, that is the one thing that scares me in a Creighton-Alabama matchup potentially. This is perfect for Creighton because I don't think Princeton really has anyone that can guard Kalkbrenner. And Princeton's guards are just so much better than Creighton's guards are so much better than Princeton's. So if you were Creighton in a region where you could have had to have gone NC State, who, by the way, credit to NC State for really making Creighton work, even though Creighton covered all numbers when it was all said and done. And Baylor, look, Creighton, wire to wire, they were better. There was no doubt who was the better team in that basketball game. It was the Creighton Blue Jays. Wire to wire against Baylor in an 85-76 win yesterday in Denver. But when this is all said and done, I just don't see how Princeton can stay in this game. And I know Ken Pom only makes a 9. The market makes a 9.5. Our guy Hoops made it 8. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And look, after seeing St. Peter's last year, I think there's one little difference. And I'm not a huge Greg McDermott guy. I think he's a solid coach. I don't think he's in the upper echelon in the country, but I think he's solid. He's better than Mount Painter in the tournament at this point. Because losing that game last year that St. Peter's beat Purdue in, when you had a legitimate big and a lottery pick in your backcourt, who, by the way, Jaden Ivey was dreadful in that game. You can't lose that game. And again, Mount Painter, we talked about it earlier in the show and it's been talked about across everywhere, where Purdue is currently in the midst of the worst three-year stretch in the history of the NCAA tournament in the way of losses. And that's what a Sweet 16... This is how impressive Purdue's run is. Purdue has made it to a Sweet 16 last year, and no one remembers that because they've gone lost to 12 seed... Or excuse me, lost to 13 seed, lost to 15 seed, lost to 16 seed. It will never be matched. The three-year run that Purdue is on will never be matched in the way of tournament ineptitude in high seed losses. But back to a 15 seed that's alive here in the Sweet 16, I just don't see how they can stay in the game. I think this is Creighton rolling here, winning by double digits against Princeton. It's a 10-point line. I just don't see how this is close. In the end, Creighton just much better. They're much more talented, and it's a really brutal matchup for Creighton. Or excuse me, for Princeton against Creighton. Creighton rolls. I do think Alabama survives against San Diego State, and we end up with Alabama and Creighton, which is what I had in my bracket, which will be the only region I got both teams there in, which is kind of, I could get Houston and Texas, actually. Sorry, I misspoke. But in the end here, I think Creighton's got a real shot to take out Alabama. And if Alabama loses, look, with everything that's gone on the left side of the bracket, we could have a very unexpected team, regardless if Bama loses in a national title game. Oh, man. I do like Creighton. I do. I probably will bet Creighton against Alabama. Curious to see what that line is. It's got to be probably, if this is 7.5 with San Diego State, I would make Creighton a 2-point favorite against San Diego State, maybe 3. So it's got to be 5, 4.5, something in that pocket against Alabama if that's the regional final in Louisville, Kentucky. Again, Friday, Sunday for the South region. Tom Cunningham is going to be joining us next. His thoughts on the Sweet 16. And hey, we got tennis, Miami Open time. That's with Tom Cunningham next.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for just $19. Our team is here at VSiN to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament, and including picks from VSiN hosts, yes, analysts, including Tom Cunningham, who's going to be joining us in a few seconds here. VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and exclusive betting tools like our betting splits. So sign up today at VSiN.com and get this March special for just $19. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles, in for Greg Peterson here on the GPE, and now with us, head writer at Run Your Pool, a jack of all trades, can talk about anything. Our guy Tom Cunningham with us right now. Tom, thanks for staying up late with us. We're gonna have to get Tom's audio up there in a second. We'll get to Tom in a second. Video is crisp, but. We'll get the audio in a second. Tom, you got us right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. See, now I can hear you. There it is. our guy Tom Cunningham with us right now. So Tom, let's start with the madness, and then we'll work our way through tennis and hockey plays for Tuesday night. Let's start at MSG. We'll start in the East. Kansas State is an underdog against Michigan State, just the second time in the last eight tournaments that a team seven or higher has been favored over a top three seed. And that's what we see right now with Sparty as a 2-point favorite against K-State. But I think you and I are going to align here on the better seeded team that's an underdog here.
Yeah, Kansas State has just been the better team all season. Kansas State, they've kind of floated around the top 7, the top 12 range all year, while Michigan State, they've kind of flirted with top 30, top 35 all year. So in terms of just consistent play this year, Kansas State has been the better team. So yeah, I think you and I are in agreement here. Let's just take the better team for plus value here. Plus 110 is what I'm looking at with Kansas State. And sure, you could take the plus 2 for Kansas State, but what we've seen in this tournament is that if an underdog covers, they're winning outright more times than not. It's very rare in this tournament this year where you see an underdog cover and then not win the game. You're probably looking at double-digit point spreads for, you know, underdogs that are covering and not winning. So if an underdog covers, they typically win. You might as well just go with the money line. And some things to like about Kansas State here, they've actually won 8 straight games when taking on a school outside of the Big 12. So they're very comfortable taking on schools outside of the Big 12, which is a very tough conference, as we all know. Kansas State, they've also covered the spread in 6 of 7 games when playing on a neutral court. So they're very comfortable on a neutral court as well. Now, there are some things working against us for Kansas State bettors. Michigan State, they've covered 5 of 8 on a neutral court. And Kansas State, they've seen the favorite cover the spread in 4 of 5 games, which would point towards Michigan State. But I think you and I are in agreement that Kansas State is just the better team. There's a few trends that do support the Wildcats here. So I'm going to go with Kansas State to win outright at plus 110. If you want to take the plus 2 to be safe, that's fine too, but I expect Kansas State to win this game.
The other thing that concerns me, even though, again, I think K-State's a much better team, Izzo is 18-6 in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament all time straight up. That is incredible for a coach to have won 75% of his second weekend games, and that's what Tom Izzo has done in March Madness. I want to keep it in the East, Tom. The other game, FAU and Tennessee, 9-4. And look, one thing I've liked about Florida Atlantic all year, first off, they're 30 games over 500, which is almost impossible to do. They're 33-3. But they can beat you any which way. They can beat you in a grind game. They can beat you in a fast game. And we saw it in the first round. First two rounds, I should say. Grinder against Memphis, win that game. Fast-paced game against Fairleigh Dickinson, they win that game. This will be a grinder against Tennessee in the late night Thursday game at MSG.
Yeah, and there's a few bets you could go with this. I'm actually pretty huge on FAU. I've had the fortune of watching them play a lot this year. I'm only 45 minutes from Boca Raton. And so I've actually had an up-close look at FAU all year, where others may not have, because they're not really nationally televised a lot. So I can go ahead and tell you, this team is legit. They've actually have the second highest efficiency ratio in the entire tournament of all the 68 schools that were in this year. So they're very good on both offense and defense. They're very efficient on both ends of the court. When you look at some of the trends, though, FAU, they have covered 4 of 6 games when playing as an underdog. Tennessee has seen the underdog cover the spread in 3 straight games. And FAU, they've also seen the underdog cover the spread in 4 straight games and 5 of their last 6 overall. So a lot of trends are telling you FAU at plus 5 is a pretty good bet here in this case if both teams see the underdog cover the spread more times than not. And then the point total, look, Tennessee's defense is electric. I think everyone knows that they like to keep games low scoring. I'll take the under 131.5. Tennessee, they've gone under in 4 of 6 games overall. FAU, they have gone under the point total in 4 of 5 games overall. So I think there's a couple of different ways you could bet this. I think FAU plus 5 is perfectly fine. And I think going under 131.5 points is also perfectly fine. Of the two, I'd probably take the under. I'm more of a point total guy when it comes to college basketball in particular, but it does seem like the underdog covering the spread in this matchup is a fine way to go. And if you're going to get plus 5 for FAU, I think that's enough points to take.
Under and the underdog in FAU and Tennessee, the late game at MSG. All right, let's go to the games that are here in Las Vegas. First time ever for tournament games in Vegas. And boy, what a set of games we're going to get in the West region. Let's start with UConn and Arkansas. You're looking to attack the total here.
Yeah, I like the under here, under 139.5 total points. Without going, you know, too crazy into the point totals this tournament, just know that the under has hit a lot in this NCAA tournament. I think at one point the under had hit 33-9 was the record. But going more finite into the two teams on the court, Arkansas and UConn, some trends there. UConn, they've gone under the point total in 5 of their last 6 games overall. And Arkansas, they've gone under the point total in 3 straight games and 4 of their last 6 overall. And the reason I also like the point total here is because the ATS market is a bit murky between these two teams. I'm not really sure which way to go. UConn, they've covered the spread in 6 of 7 games when they're playing on a neutral court. Arkansas, they've covered the spread in 6 of 9 games when playing on a neutral court. So both teams are very comfortable in this environment. I will say Arkansas has made the Elite Eight, I believe it is, 2 straight years. They're looking to make it 3. So if you like that trend, maybe you go Arkansas to win. But I'm just more comfortable with the point total going under between these two teams as a best bet.
Arkansas, again, as a 3 seed 2 tournaments ago, got there, lost to Baylor. Last year as a 4 seed. They actually, up until last year, had never beat the number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. And now they've taken out a number 1 seed back-to-back years, beating Gonzaga last year in the Sweet 16, and, of course, Kansas on Saturday in a round of 32. But Tom's looking at an under here, 139.5, UConn and Arkansas. All right, the main event, the late-night game in Vegas, UCLA and Gonzaga. You're looking at a first half here instead of a full game play.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. Gonzaga's first half money line is plus 100. I'm perfectly okay with that. Gonzaga has a lot of success against the Pac-12 and UCLA in particular over the years. Gonzaga, they've actually won 13 straight games when taking on a Pac-12 school. So, you know, they're not fazed by the major conference hype of the Pac-12 being one of the top 5 conferences in terms of, you know, the Big 5. They're very comfortable against these schools. They don't fear much. Not that they should. They are Gonzaga. But against the Pac-12, they are really, really good. Won 13 in a row. They've also won 4 of 5 against UCLA. So they're very comfortable against the Bruins. This is the stat that stands out to me, though. Gonzaga has failed to cover 8 of 10 games on a neutral court. So I'm a bit rubbish in taking them for the entire game. But Gonzaga has won the first half in 5 straight games against UCLA. So my theory is that Gonzaga can possibly just start this game very, very hot, and then maybe UCLA will, you know, come back in the second half and, you know, make a game of it. And it could be a close game in the first half, for that matter. But it does seem as Gonzaga, if there was a time that they're going to, you know, pull away in this game or take a lead, it would be the first half, as they've done so multiple times against UCLA. And then the selling point is plus value. You're going to get Gonzaga for plus 100. So I think the first half is fine. And look, if you miss your bet with Gonzaga in first half, you still have a whole second half to hedge bet and live bet the game and try to make your losses back. But I do think Gonzaga in the first half for an asking price of plus 100 is perfectly acceptable for this game.
Tom, we have about a minute here, so I want to get one more in here. Let's go to South Regional action. San Diego State and Alabama. You're looking at a total again here, looking at an under.
Yeah, under 138. Going through the trends real quickly, San Diego State, they've gone under in 10 straight games. That's just absolutely remarkable. They've gone under in 12 of their last 13 overall. And so, yeah, I like that. Also, Alabama, they've gone under in 5 of their last 6 games. So I could see this game being very much a grind, very physical. You know how San Diego State likes to play. They like to slow the tempo down, get into your face, and make it a low-scoring game. I expect that in this game, but obviously Alabama is the better team. I do expect them to pull away. But again, they're too expensive to take, and I don't trust the spread. It's a bit too high. So give me the point total. I'll go under, which most of the games have been doing anyway in this NCAA tournament.
Tom, stick around. We have more NCAA tournament picks to get from you. We also have the Miami Open coming this weekend, starting up, of course, in Miami. Tom Cunningham sticks around on the GPE here on VSiN.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see the changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match public opinion. So check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits. Another way to VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out today at VSiN.com. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Greg Peterson on the GPE. Tom Cunningham with us right now, head writer at Run Your Pool on the tweets at _TJKC_. Tom, let's go to the Midwest, Kansas City, Missouri, the site for the Midwest region. Let's start with the number one seed, Houston, taking on the Hurricanes of Miami. Miami, a very impressive win, a slight upset in the seeding and the betting lines against Indiana on Sunday night in Albany. The Canes are getting the whole seven, the whole touchdown against the Cougars on Friday night.
Yeah, and I actually don't mind Houston in terms of picking a winner for this entire tournament. And the reason I say is because no one's picking Houston. And they're the most efficient team in the country. They've been one of the best teams in the country. They have experience on both the sidelines and on the court. There's just a lot to like about Houston. And I think a lot of people were kind of rubbish on them when Marcus Sasser got hurt in the AAC tournament. And so people were looking for reasons not to take Houston. I think Houston's a great pick now to win the whole thing. And it's solely because no one else is picking them in the bracket. So just wanted to throw that out there. I like Houston to win it all right now. So you would think I'm going to take Houston against Miami, right? Actually, Miami plus seven is the best play on the board for this game. Miami, they're very comfortable in the underdog role. They've covered seven of their last nine games, including the one you just mentioned against Indiana, as an underdog. So Miami as an underdog, I actually fear them quite often. And you're going to give them a touchdown, as you mentioned. That's a lot of points for this late in the tournament. So I'm going to go Miami plus seven as the best bet, although I do think Houston is a prime pick right now to win the entire thing. If you have to, you know, reset your brackets with a Sweet 16 bracket or whatever it is, I think Houston is a very good choice because no one's picking them. Houston, they have failed to cover the spread in six of eight games. It's another reason I like Miami in this spot. I'm going to go with Miami plus seven. They've seen the underdog cover the spread in five of seven games. There's just a lot to like about Miami in this spot. So give me Miami plus seven.
It is Miami's guards, I think, will give Houston some problems. Don't know if it's good enough to win the game, but I am with you there on getting the seven with Miami against Houston. Last game, we will be looking at the Midwest in the next segment. This is the first we've really mentioned this on the show tonight. Texas against Xavier here, and a hard-fought win for Texas against Penn State. Xavier really took it to Pitt on Sunday. Higher total here. You can even get 149 now, Tom, as you look for the under.
Wow. Yeah, that's very high considering how these games have gone this year. They've basically been living unders since the tournament started with the first four round. Texas, they've gone under in seven straight games. Xavier, they've gone under in three of four games. So if you're going to give me 149, I had 148.5 written down. If you're going to give me 149, more power to me there. I'll take the under for sure as the best bet between these two teams. And then just kind of looking at some more trends here, it's a bit tough to call. Texas, they've covered six of seven games. So if you want to go ATS, maybe you go Texas there. But look, Xavier, they've won seven of their last eight games. And they should have lost that game to Kennesaw State. They were very fortunate to get through that game. And typically teams that almost lose but don't, and then they survive in advance, they end up playing pretty well. So I do fear Xavier a little bit if I'm a Texas better. And I think going under the point total is just the safer play, especially if I'm getting 149. I'll take the under for sure.
And that is the earlier game in Kansas City on Friday night. All right, let's get some tennis in here. there are odds out on the women's side in the Miami Open. I'll just leave this up to you here, Tom. Your favorite, your short shot pick, your mid-range pick, and your long shot pick on the women's side of the Miami Open.
Yeah, sure. So I'll go with three. First of all, I think Swiatek plus 220 is perfectly fine. She's the best player on the women's side in the world. And plus value, I think that's okay for how she performs. Not only does she perform very well on a hard court surface, but she plays very well in the United States. You saw with her U.S. Open run as well. She is very lethal in America. She's very comfortable playing here. And she had the persona of, oh, well, Swiatek's only a clay court player. And she went out and won the U.S. Open. So I think Swiatek at plus 220 is perfectly fine, considering you're going to be getting her at minus 400, 500 in single match betting throughout the tournament. So for plus 220, I think that's fine to have a ticket on. And then real quickly, Barbara Krejcikova at plus 1,100, 11-1 odds. She's been playing very, very well. She actually beat Swiatek earlier this year on a hard court surface. She seems to be back in form from when she won the Roland Garros. So I would fear Krejcikova a little bit right now if I'm other women on the tour. And then a huge long shot pick for 100-1 odds. I think Anastasia Potapova is worth a look here. I don't expect her to win this tournament, but again, we're talking about a huge long shot here. And for 100-to-1 odds, Potava, she's won 7 of her last 9 main draw matches overall. She won the first set against Jessica Pegula in, I think it was Indian Wells in the last tournament, which is, you know, that's very difficult to do. Pegula is one of the best players in the world in America on a hard court surface in particular. And she went 3 sets with Pegula. She took the first set, lost the next set 6-4, and lost the third set 7-5. So she's pushing good players on a hard court surface. And she also beat Marketa Vondrousova and Petra Marcik in the last tournament she won, which was in Linz, Austria. So I think Anastasia Potapova for 100-to-1 odds is a pretty good long shot. But I expect Iga Świątek to win this tournament at plus 220.
Tom, there's no odds yet on the men's side. But as, no. as we know, no Novak Djokovic in this tournament. Still not allowed in the U.S. A few more weeks of foreigners needing a full vaccine doses in order to get in. Djokovic obviously does not have that. Who are you looking at once those odds pop, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to go against anyone that's not named Carlos Alcaraz. He's just been dominating. You would have no idea that he just came off an injury, and he's just running through people right now. So I think Carlos Alcaraz would probably be my starting point there. And if you want to look elsewhere outside Carlos Alcaraz, as he's kind of becoming that new unbeatable player on the men's side, I would probably look towards some Americans here. I'd probably go Taylor Fritz, maybe Francis Tiafoe, some of the homegrown talent here playing in their home country. But if you want to get away from some Americans and you do want to get away from Carlos Alcaraz, I would probably suggest Jannik Sinner from Italy. He's been playing really, really well lately. Battle tested. And so I would probably look towards him. But honestly, I'm probably going Carlos Alcaraz or one of the top Americans for the men's side here.
Let's go to some hockey. Let's go to some hockey for Tuesday night. We'll start with a battle between two of the best in the Metro, the Canes and the Rangers. You're looking at a high scoring match here.
Yeah, I expect the over to hit. There's just a few trends that support that. The over has actually hit in 4 straight meetings played between these two teams. Carolina, they've gone over in 5 straight games when taking on the Rangers at night when they come off a road win. And then the 1.5 goal total, Jeff, has gone over in the first period in 5 of 6 meetings between these two teams. So these teams score early and often when they go head-to-head against each other. So I'm just going to go with some of the historical trends between these two teams when they go head-to-head. And take the goal total going over in this one.
Total is 6 right now between the Canes and the Rangers. We'll keep it with another New York team. You have 2 plays on this game, the Maple Leafs and, of course, the New York Islanders. You have a total play and a money line play here.
Yeah, Toronto's pretty cheap, I think, for the money line here. They've won 8 of 9 when taking on the Metro division, so they have a lot of success against teams from the Metro. They've also won 4 or 5 games when taking on the Islanders. So just head-to-head matchup, Toronto, they should be the look here. Now, if you know the Isles worry you or you don't like Toronto on the road for some reason, you could go under here. The Islanders have gone under in 6 straight home games when taking on the Atlantic Division. UBS Arena, which is where the Islanders play, has an OU record of 12-22 this year. So a lot of games go under when they're playing in UBS Arena. Only 5.3 goals are being scored per game in that arena this year. And then the under has hit in 4 or 5 meetings between these two teams. So I'm comfortable with the Maple Leafs. I'm also comfortable with the goal total going under.
Tom, we have about 45 seconds here. We get the one game, Canucks and Golden Knights, same sort of deal. You like the total and you like the dog here.
Yeah, if you like, if you're looking for some plus value and underdog in hockey, I think the Canucks is a good way to start. Vancouver, they've won 3 of their last 4 games against Vegas, but more importantly, they've won 7 of 8 overall. So the Canucks are actually getting it going. They're kind of under the radar, successful right now in hockey, and you're going to get them at home for plus 125 against a struggling Knights team. I'm okay with that. Vancouver, they've covered the puck line in 4 straight games against Vegas as well, so they keep it close against Vegas. And as I just mentioned, they've won 3 of 4 against Vegas. So give me Vancouver plus 125 as an underdog take.
Tom Cunningham, of course, you find his work, Run Your Pool, head writer over there on the tweets at _TJKC_. Tom, thanks for staying up late with us. More on the GPE next.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You can win up to $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing their exclusive Bet Rivers Squares this basketball season. Place a qualifying bet and you get a square on the house. If the numbers of your square match the final scores of the game, you win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonus, and credit use. Full terms and conditions at BetRiversSquares.com. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles here on the GPE. I'm back tomorrow in for Greg. And then you'll see Greg again Wednesday night in Vegas, Thursday morning on the East Coast. Some well-earned days off for our guy GP Hoops, as we know him, Greg Peterson. Before we get back to the Midwest region, just want to throw out a pro tip real quick. Again, we mentioned it earlier when we were talking with Tanner Kern. There are a lot of new rules in baseball, so be aware of them when you're handicapping baseball games early in the regular season. And be aware of how books may adjust their totals, especially based off the new rules, as we are 9 days from opening day? How about that? 9 days from opening day. Kind of snuck up on all of us, as it usually does. Also, World Baseball Classic Tuesday night. USA and Japan. Merrill Kelly, Yu Darvish, the starting pitchers. Japan, a dramatic come-from-behind win against Mexico. Team USA really beat up on Cuba on Sunday night. So Japan and Team USA, both teams looking to become multi-time champions of the World Baseball Classic. All right, let's get to the Midwest region. Kansas City, Missouri. Middle America, here we come. For the Midwest region in KC, the Texas Longhorns and the Xavier Musketeers. Let's start there. 2v3 in this region. Start time for this one. This is the late game, 9:45 Eastern time, approximate start time in Kansas City. Texas really had to work against Penn State. 5-point win for the Horns. Penn State covers the number, but Texas really took it to Colgate. Just a horrible matchup for Colgate, in all honesty, having to draw that. An uber-athletic team that's really good on both sides of the ball. Just really a brutal matchup for Colgate when it's all said and done, and Texas blasted them. And Penn State's a really good basketball team, and Texas was able to take their best punch and beat them. Very impressive stuff from Rodney Terry and his squad. Xavier should have lost to Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State got tight. They had a chance, a really great play by Jack Nungy to block what would have been a game-winning layup. And Xavier survived and then really took it to Pitt in the round of 32. This is a 4-point line. The total is 149. Now you look at the advanced metrics for these teams. Texas is very good on both sides of the ball. They're 15th in offense, 10th in defense. Now, my question with Texas coming into this tournament was all on the head coach. What are we getting out of Rodney Terry? We know he was a head coach at Fresno State. He did an okay job. Could he lead this team to a national title? I thought he could. That's why I had Texas winning the tournament in my bracket and have a future on him. I think Texas matches up great with Xavier personally. I think they match up great. Xavier's good, very good offensively, top 10 in the country, but 63rd defensively, which is fine, but not great. I think this Texas team, with the way they have athleticism and the way that their guards, look, their guards are really good. Their guards are really, really good. And your big guys are physical. And I'm not so certain, and it's weird to say about a team out of the Big East, but Xavier's finesse. They're not really physical. And I think when this is all said and done, this more likely than not ends up being a game where Texas's physicality wins out. I mean, how good was Dylan Dessou in the game against Penn State? My goodness, what a game for him. You have good physical big guys, even though they're under a little bit undersized. They're physical, they're tough. I think they're tougher than Xavier's big guys. I actually feel comfortable laying 4 with Texas. I understand why people took the hook with Xavier, but I think Texas is just a much better basketball team when this is all said and done, and the physicality is a big difference. So I like Texas. I'll lay 4 with the Horns. Total, I don't really have a feel for. It feels right at 148.5, 149. I don't think there's anything wrong with that number. I think that's all good. So Texas, again, 4-point favorite nightcap in Kansas City. Looking at the 1v5 game, 7:15 Eastern time, 6:15 in KC. Number one seed Houston taking on Miami. Got to give the Cougars credit. They've only played one good half so far in this tournament. That one half, they didn't need to play a good half against Northern Kentucky, winning that game pretty easily. When it was all said and done. But they eviscerated Auburn in the second half. 50-23. I'm no mathematician, but that's 27. To win the game by 17 points. When Houston's offense gets going, if Houston can put together 4 straight good offensive games, I think they are winning the title. I don't think they're capable of putting together 4 straight good offensive games. That's my issue with them. And now comes in Miami, where you have two really good guards for Miami, Wong and Pack. And you have an undersized big guy who's really good in Omir. The one concern I have with Miami in this game is that Houston's defense we know is going to be good regardless. And I'm really not so certain if Miami's guards are going to be able to handle the length and the pressure that Houston is going to put on them. Miami really struggled with Drake, who is a very good defensive team, but they are no Houston Cougars. Miami, of course, 16-1 run to end that game and won that game by 7, covered all numbers, a nice solid win for Larrañaga and company before they really took it to Indiana in the second round of a 16-point win in a regular offensive effort of 85 points for them. But this is just a really difficult matchup for Miami. I don't think they can win the game. But 7 is a lot for when you have really quality guards like they do. And they have high-end guards. It is hard to win game by margin against a team like that, especially if you have problems scoring the basketball, which Houston can have problems scoring the basketball time and time. But 7 feels too steep. So I don't think I'm going to take – I think I'm going to wait in-game. I'll see if Houston gets out to a lead, and then I'm going to take points with Miami at more than 7 in-game. I think that is the way to play it when it's all said and done in Kansas City. Texas advances. I think Houston advances too, but 7 with Miami. And again, the one concern is always with Miami. So they're great offensively. There's no arguing that. They're 11th in the country, offensive efficiency, KenPom. They are 108 defensively. That is, you're not beating many good teams in a tournament with that type of defense. Now they were able to get away with it, because they were very good defensively against Drake. Drake only had 0.8 points of possession, which is quite good. Indiana had a point per possession, but it doesn't matter when you have 1.23. When you almost have 1.25 points of possession, you're not going to lose many games. And that's what Miami was able to do against IU on Sunday night in Albany. But in the end, I just don't think they have enough. I don't think they have enough depth. I don't think they have enough horses in order to beat Houston, even getting 7. But getting 7, maybe. Maybe getting 7. You look at Houston and Texas, an all-Texas regional final. Winner gets to go back to the home state. Houston would have a chance to go back and play at the home city. I picked the Horns before the tournament to win it all. I have no reason for me to back down now with what we've seen through 2 rounds. I think we end up with Texas. When it's all said and done, that's what it ends up being. That we end up with Texas, UCLA, Kansas State, and Creighton, as we all expected before the season. That's what I think our Final Four is. And a UCLA-Texas semifinal. Woo! What a game that will be if that's the game. Those two teams are so good. And Kansas State-Creighton would be awesome, too. Creighton, a team that people loved preseason, had that horrible stretch in the middle of the year, really centered around Kalkbrenner's ailment. They lost 6 in a row at one point. They were 9-8 on January 11th. And here they are with a real chance to make the Final Four out of the South region. Should be an amazing week in college basketball. Looking forward to it as always. That's all the time we have here on a GPE tonight. Big thanks to Danielle Alvari, Tim Murray, Tanner Curd, Tom Cunningham for joining us. Big thanks to the crew back there as well. Taylor, Dakota, Jason, Sean, great work as always back there. I'm in for Greg tomorrow. We'll see you next time on the GPE.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.